we see Paul also mentioning, there's much we could say about these verses, but just to highlight one other thought in verse 20, I proclaimed to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. It's very similar to when they came to arrest the Lord Jesus, and he said, I spoke openly. I was in your synagogue. I went to the temple. You know what I taught. And this is the same with Paul. Paul could say, like the Lord Jesus, you know, I didn't do this in secret. The truth is true and does not have to be expressed in some coded language or among an elite few to indoctrinate a few. No, that is not how the truth is disseminated. It's something that can be known to everyone. And so Paul preached publicly and also to house. You know, one sign of a false teacher is they take you aside and say, I want to give you some special knowledge that's not really something most can enter into, but I perceive you can enter into it, so I'll share this knowledge with you. Sure sign of a false teacher. This is not the Apostle Paul's example, which was also not what the Lord did. He spoke publicly the truth.
Not only that, you find we might all be willing to receive teaching. We might be all willing to receive a word of ministry. But he also speak about admonishing or warning. And we need to do that also. We need to be conscious of the fact that we need to be warned sometimes when things are not right. I think the thing to me, again, when you read this chapter, you see a man who really, really, really loved the Lord and honored him all the way. As he put himself before these elders, everything he could say, nobody could point the finger at him. It reminds me of Samuel in his last address. He said, look at me. Yes, he had his failure, but look at me. I have never taken anything from anybody. I have served you. I could not cease from praying to you. But here, when every man is gone from the scene, as we have heard the word that if the Lord leaves us here, many of these older brothers that we love and appreciated, that we sat and listened to them, they will be gone. Paul does not commit those elders to Timothy. He doesn't commit them to Titus. He commit them to God and to the word of his grace. When every man is gone, when every man fails, God and the word of his grace is able to keep them and gives them inheritance among those who are sanctified. It's again amazing to me. There is no succession here. I'm going to leave you to my, you know, this person or that person. None of that at all. God have no grandchildren. You got to have it on your own. It doesn't matter what your last name is. You got to have it on your own. And the only thing is really God and the word of his grace. It is available to each and every one of us, young and old. We need to realize that's what it's important to us. Yes, books are very, very important. And we need them. But it's God and the word of his grace.
It's good, too, that he's pointing out that I have held back nothing. Because I think I might be content, you might be content, with just a little bit of what the apostle has to offer. He says, no, I don't want you just to gain a little. I have held back nothing. There is nothing in his arsenal, if I might put it that way, that has not been set out and disseminated to the saints for the benefit of the saints and for the glory of Christ. He says, I want you to get everything. Is it available to us? Yes, it is. But it largely depends on how much of it that I want.
That's a nice phrase in verse 24. The beginning of verse 24, where he says, none of these things, the chains and the tribulations, none of these things move me. And we might ask ourselves, what is it that does move us? Because what Paul means is, these things are not going to turn me aside. There's many times people are moved, and it has nothing to do with their actions externally. When it says, for example, that Noah built an ark, And he, where there's the comma there, grammatically, it's not that he moved with fear, it's that he was moved. He was internally impacted with the fear of coming judgment. He was moved. And Paul says, this is how it is with me. I'll tell you what moves me. What is it that internally drives me forward? It's not these chains. These chains that are promised, the tribulations that are expected, they're not going to turn me aside. And we might all ask ourselves, well, is there anything that would turn me aside? What is it? How much would it take for me to be moved away from the course, from the path of service, the path of life, the path of Christian living that has set out in front of us? Paul says that doesn't move me, but the thing that moves me is I want to finish with joy, and I want to finish the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus. And we could just highlight, maybe in closing, this last phrase: to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel is many things. It contains many components. It contains the righteousness of God. In Romans chapter 1, Paul says the righteousness from heaven, righteousness of God is revealed from heaven, taking vengeance on those who do not obey the gospel of God, it says in Peter. And in 2 Thessalonians, there's something similar. The gospel contains many elements, but the overarching characteristic of the gospel message is truly grace. It is not an oversimplification to say that it is the gospel of the grace of God. Where sin abounds, grace overabounded. There is enough grace in the message to accomplish all of God's purposes, even to satisfy his righteousness. Grace appeared to all men, it says in Titus chapter 2, teaching us that we should shun ungodliness and live in a godly way. But it's the message of the grace of God. And this is, when we look at this as the message that we are bearing, the message that we're carrying, it's the message of the gospel of the grace of God, the good news of God's grace, that there is a God who is acting in grace by sending his Son and by providing a message of salvation so that everything that mankind needed for a relationship with God, he has provided it all. That's what gripped Paul's heart in his ministry. And therefore, it warmed his heart to the point where he could not consider he could not imagine being moved, turned aside by anything. If we are gripped and overcome by the message of the gospel of the grace of God, we also will be effective servants in that regard. There may be another closing comment, Bill, but perhaps it's a good time to bring our studies to a close.
Yeah, I think we should transition. Well, is there one more comment?
Like in closing, I would like to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll read 7 verses, which sums up what we've been talking about today. The Apostle Paul to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, and not of us.
I think that's a very fitting way to end our study. And once again, I'm sure there's more we could say, but we'll leave that as the Lord would lead in your personal studies when you come from here.